Jillian, who will speak on many topics, including higher power literature and our, what is it called? Our most important relationship. Take it away, Jillian.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Jillian. I'm codependent, and you'll have to excuse me, I'm really nervous.
Jillian.
Yeah, hi. I'm very grateful to give service today because it happened to me as a very young person. I was only 5, pushed on the stage, being threatened by teachers, you know, any person turning up to a Christmas party thing, you know, on stage. And I was so terribly frightened that I can't remember anything of it. And so I always have this fear, you know, when I'm doing something. So I think the more I do it, the more I'll feel a lot better about it. So this is for me as much as for anybody else. So, my name's Jillian. I'm codependent. And the title for this is Higher Power, Literature and the Most Important Relationship. And for me, I'll begin by telling you a little bit about my history and my journey to CODA. And in the presence of my higher power, my life, it's been so important to me. And also the CODA conference endorsed literature in helping me in my recovery in CODA. And so I'll start off by saying that, and you can see this in chapter 2 of the Codependence Anonymous book, Our Spiritual Dilemma. Whenever I'm in doubt of my connection with my higher power, I look at it and I was thinking about it. It says, having a sense of safety, self-worth, well-being, unconditional love, self-respect, nurturing and self-acceptance. And those are things I always wanted. And there they appear right at the beginning of this chapter 2, A Spiritual Dilemma. I love the whole of that chapter, which is really, really helpful for me, especially for feeling distance from my higher power. And also chapter 5 in the Codependence Anonymous book, which I know it's titled Questions for Codependence or whatever else, but I think it should say Answers, because everything in there seems to be an answer to it. Wonderful things in there, which I'll maybe talk about later. So the other day I heard Mary R. say something wonderful which really clicked with me, and it was that codependency is a fear addiction. And I never thought of it like that before, but it's absolutely true for me, an addiction to fear. And I've always felt fearful, full of fear. And I always wanted to, and am becoming one day at a time, fearless. And so I'm going to start with the long serenity prayer, which was passed last year, which helps me from being overwhelmed. And it's, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Grant me patience with the changes that take time, appreciation of all that I have, tolerance of those with different struggles, and the strength to get up and try again one day at a time. And I say that whenever I'm feeling stressed or when anything's worrying me. So my higher power is a big part of my life. Like most codependents, I've had trauma in my life, and it started when I was very young. And I realise now that it was complex PTSD. So it was fight or flight. But I just wanted to be born. You know, I hid with a mask of smiling, plastic smile on my face. And I stuck that on all the time. But inside I was crying and upset. And lots of photographs I saw as a child, I looked really sad. And if I saw a child looking like that, I'd be a bit worried. And I realised what I'd done is I numbed out all my feelings. And I believe I was born into a loving family, but it was very, very dysfunctional. And I have a theory for me, it's only for me, but I believe that when I was in the womb, in my mother's womb, I had this internal voice, this higher self or higher power. And then when I was born, some babies don't make it, but when I was born into a language I learned, and I stopped listening to that inner voice. And then as I got older and things happened in my life, I was searching for something. And that inner voice I found when I came to CODA. I think what it was I reconnected with that thing. I always felt there was a loss somewhere. And thanks to CODA, I have reconnected with that inner voice. And I call it my higher power, my higher self. So I'd learned to numb out at two. And, you know, I had a very dysfunctional family. A brother who was 3 years older than me, who was very highly strung. And we learned later on that it was bipolar, always very, very high. And later on, in his early teens, he became schizophrenic. But I never told my parents how his outbursts and his violence. Kept it a secret because I felt they couldn't cope with it. So, you know, it was very stressful in my home, and my mother was very depressed for lots of reasons, and my father was a workaholic. You know, they were both perfectionists, although they weren't perfect. But I was a very inquisitive child, and I was always searching for things and always looking for something spiritual. I lived by the seaside in North Wales, and that was really my saving grace, all the lovely mountains or hills nearby. I'd sit on the top there and have a 360-degree view of life and think, oh, things can't be that bad, and it'll change when I'm older. And I used to sit on the beach, just as a little girl of about six, look in the rock pools and think, life will be different, because it was so chaotic at home with my brother's behaviour. And really what I did was I was looking for calmness, peace, orderliness. And so I used to go to my Sunday school, my Heder, a Sunday school. And afterwards, my Catholic friends would meet me outside and I'd go to their mass because anything rather than go with my brother or my cousin who would really torment me on the way home. So that was a safer bet. And it was quiet and peaceful. I wasn't religious. I was spiritual. I was looking for something. And the seaside certainly gave me that. I loved the ocean, the you know, ebb and flow of the sea and the enormous waves crashing. And it was really magical and very spiritual. So for me, that was my saving grace. That was where I think I met my higher power when I was young. And things were difficult at home as I was growing up. And I used to go and buy my mother flowers, save up my money, pocket money or money from school, and look at these flowers and give them to her to try and cheer her up, really. With my brother, he was very demanding, and I was like his muse, he used to say, and he was very, very artistic, and he wrote plays, and even from a little boy of seven, you know, 10, making films, all this sort of thing. He was very, very demanding, and it took all my energy, and really what I did was I abandoned myself. It's like living with a little Orson Welles. when my sister was born, I was nearly 4 years old, and my father said, "Chilly, look after your sister, help your mother." So, of course, I took him literally and I became a little mother to my sister. I did it too well, so everybody thought I was doing fine, but I was really, again, abandoning myself, but always looking for something spiritual. There was also, when on the beach, there was a little miniature, like a size of a shed, really, little church there. It was a 13th century church where the monks had escaped persecution and took fishing boats over to Ireland. And I used to sit in there and imagine what they must have been like then, feeling all this chaos and persecution and whatever else. And I felt like escaping to Ireland as well. And unfortunately, when I was about three and a half, a family friend of the family, sexually abused me without my parents' knowledge and threatened, you know, if I told my mother, it would kill her. My mother was used to quote, not knowing all this, "Oh, you were so funny when you were little." You used to look at me and say, "When you die, will you leave me all your pots and pans?" Because I'd been trying to tell her stuff, but I didn't have the words to tell her. And so I learned to keep silent about things, silent about my views, numbed feelings inside. I received a lot of physical and verbal abuse when I went to a private school when I was 4. And they used to say, you must repent for the sins of your people. And it was pretty horrible. But I used to get comfort in thinking about how life would be, and that was all a real purpose in this. I think I had a bit of a Joan of Arc syndrome there going on, being a martyr. But I felt this spiritual thing, my higher power. But I was very fortunate that I had a wonderful teacher just for 6 months, from the age of 3.5 to 4, in a local nursery. And she was a survivor from the Burmese camps from the Second World War. And she was an amazing person, so talented and kind and so intelligent. And she instilled in me something that took me through for years. And luckily I was able to thank her years later. I bumped into her on a train. I was about 16 at the time and going through something else. And I remember seeing her and thinking, I must thank her. And plucked up the courage to say thank you. And she said, but Gillian, you were only with me for 6 months. I said, yeah, but it made all the difference to me. How amazing that somebody can make that difference. It really stayed with me. It stayed with me till today. She's such an amazing person. As I grew up, the family life was very stressful. I got to 10. I was very, very ill. I was ill in the hospital in a place 200 miles away from my home. I had very severe glandular fever and apparently almost died. There for 2.5 months, and I do believe it was the stress. I was keeping all inside. But also it gave me, you know, sort of my higher power really gave me space to be me. 2.5 months, well, I don't remember the first month. I was so ill. The next 6 weeks, it was spent helping the nurses, reading to the young patients, and realizing that if I could help other people, I could feel good about myself. And I thought I'd be a nurse or a doctor. When I came to being 14, I decided to tell my father, you know, Daddy, I want to be a psychiatrist. There were so many mental health issues in the family, in the wider family as well. And he said, well, you can't do that. You're going to be a secretary. Your brother's going to university, but you're going to be a secretary and you're going to get married. I only found out years later, just before my mother died, she said, your father should never have told you that. You were very good at school. You were so clever. But he was frightened you might never marry. And you know, that I'd be too independent. They say this is a disease of silence. And so I swallowed everything, kept it all in. And obviously that was my anger, but I didn't realize that. I called it my sadness. But my higher power was always there, or this spiritual thing that was around me. I always felt it was a bit like, well, at the school when I was younger, between the 4 and 9, when I was really having a tough time, they had a globe. And on the wall, they had a map of the world. And I realized it was such a large place. I wanted to travel when I was older and see different cultures and things, and thought it was wonderful. But this globe also, I used to think of it, you know, being in the universe, turning on its axis, there must be some wonderful forces keeping it there. And for me, that was this at that time, it was about nature and things. And I was surrounded by nature living where I did. So this disease of silence, I realize now I was surrounded by a lot of narcissists. And my go-to position is to abandon myself. I completely abandon myself. Thanks to CODA, I recognize this now. So I have tools to deal with them. You know, that the book, was it for Tools for Recovery? That's really helpful, especially when I was first in CODA. It was very helpful. So this thing of feeling numbed out and frozen within, it was really like that until I came to CODA many years later. And this is a disease of silence, of self-neglect, and of abandonment. And I had a lot of bullying, and really unpleasant things, but always these things have always helped me live in a way that helped me feel there was something really there for me to help me survive, to get through the day. And I understood this thing. For me, it was about kindness and gentleness and being accepted exactly as I was. But of course, I was surrounded by people who were very hypercritical. So it wasn't very helpful. When I was about 16, well, it was actually at 16, my father had a near fatal accident, and things were really bad, and they didn't think he would survive. He had diabetes and brain stuff leaking from his brain, and we didn't think he would recover. And my mother had to go to look after him several hundred miles away, and I stayed alone with my sister. She was 12 and I was 16. And I do believe, and even to now, to my present time, I believe that music plays a big part in meeting my own spirituality. And at the time, it was Jerry and the Pacemakers that were singing a song called Walk On, was it? You Never Walk Alone, from The Carousel, the musical and the film. And it was always my favourite film, that, you know, about a man who's died and he's looking back on his young daughter and wife that's struggling, and this wonderful song. And it was very popular at the time my father was supposedly dying, and that really helped me through. My sister used to say, oh, do you think Daddy will live? And I used to say, of course he will. And I used to go and sit on the beach and just hand it over and hope that all would happen. But I knew that, God willing, it would be okay. Anyway, miraculously, everything fixed without the operation. His diabetes didn't go up, and he lived for another 26 years. And 26 years later, when he was in hospital and they thought he was okay, and I decided to linger in the hospital and asked to speak to the doctors. And out of a side ward, just this one song came on. You'll Never Walk Alone, just out of the blue. And I just knew it's my father's time. And so I stayed as late as I could and then sat in the car park for an hour until I knew he'd probably have passed, went home. And then the hospital called us to go back, and he had passed. I was just so grateful for these wonderful happenings, guidance from my higher power. After I was 16, at 18, I went to live in London, and that was a very exciting time living in London. Everything was happening there. I was kept really safe. I mean, I was also as blind as a bat. I didn't wear my glasses, so I missed out on a lot of stuff. But I had a wonderful time. And then when I was 21, I started traveling. I went to the Middle East and that. And we got stuck in with a group of people in Marseille. Had to stay there for 10 days. It was really dangerous, really, for all the fishermen round the dock, who were really gangsters, some of them, all looked after us for 10 days. We were totally safe. Again, I think it was my higher power. I then came back to Europe and then travelled to the United States and then Canada. And I lived in the States for about 6 months. Again, had a happening there. Somebody took me to the Everglades at night, and very naive as I was. And this person tried to rape me, and all I could see was, you know, bright lights of this Queen Elizabeth II ship in the glades, and crocodiles outside, alligators or whatever. And me stuck in the middle of there in the dead of night where he'd brought me. And I remember I was trying to fight this fellow off. And then suddenly, it was just like my higher powers guiding me. And I just went very limp. And I just, from I don't know where, definitely my higher power, this voice came. I didn't even recognize it myself. And it was, if you go ahead with this, you'll regret it forever. And he suddenly stopped. I mean, that was saved. I was really saved there with my higher power. So all these things are, you know, lots of different journeys. Eventually, I went to Canada for a short while and then came back to the UK. And I'd been in advertising in London, and then I came back to doing advertising in Manchester. And then I met my husband, who was very like my father, actually. Came from the same place, from Baghdad in the Middle East. And he was a lovely fellow. He was intelligent, interesting, kind, generous, and that. Anyway, after a lot of pestering me, after 18 months, we got married. I wasn't in a hurry, but he wanted to get married. My parents wanted me to get married. And so, abandoning self, I did get married. But as soon as we came home from honeymoon, he changed overnight, and I was like, shocked. Horror. What's happened? He became possessive, jealous. It was just horrendous. And I thought instantly, I felt, oh, he's ill. I must help him, being codependent, but didn't know it. And so I completely abandoned myself. I made him my higher power, really. I see that now. So from my father when I was little, etc. So what happened then was I devoted myself to him. We had a little incident where he was a bit rough with me, and I said something, and I said, if that happens again, I'll leave. And the next day it happened, but he left and then he brought his brother, who was from a very big family, so he brought his father of the family, so to speak, the eldest brother. And I was told, well, you're pregnant, you know, you must think of the baby. And I think I just gave up. I mean, I loved my husband dearly, but actually I was still a little scared, if I'm really honest. I mean, we were married for over 40 years, 44 years, actually, until he passed away. And he'd also omitted to tell me that he had a really serious illness. He never told me that until I think my baby was about a year or year and a half old and he was rushed to hospital. That was a bit of a shock too. But I knew he loved me. In fact, actually, he was obsessed with me. I find out now. Somebody told me this, and they're absolutely right. So where are we now? I had three lovely children, three lovely sons, absolutely amazing. And I decided to make them their childhood, the most wonderful childhood ever, you know, magical. I'd do all the things I wasn't allowed to do. I'd invite all their friends. We'd have them over to stay. We'd have discos, everything imaginable. It was going to be wonderful, which it was. But my husband's behaviour was getting worse. And he was a true narcissist, unfortunately. A loving narcissist, but a true narcissist. He demanded attention. A bit like my brother, really. It was history repeating itself again. So, of course, I've been abandoning myself. And one day, and definitely higher power, I was at a friend's house and I saw something on the wall. And I said, this is marvelous. What is it? Oh, she said, I go to art therapy, foundation course and that. I thought, I'm going to go there. And I did eventually, one day a week. But it went on for about 8 years. It was wonderful. And that was my saving grace. It sort of became my higher power a bit, really. And I managed to somehow or other survive. And then I realized that my husband had a certain addiction to food. Well, all his family did, being an immigrant family. They loved food. Food was love. He wasn't overweight, but it was like the amount they ate. And I couldn't keep up with it. I just couldn't do it. So I thought, I'll go and help him. So I went to this other fellowship to help him, being truly codependent. But that didn't help me so much, but the traditions did help me, and that kept me going back, and I lived by those traditions. I went, go to any lengths. I went to Ireland, I went to Scotland, I went to Wales, I went to everywhere that there was a retreat or a workshop to find out more. And also it was helping me, and eventually higher power, you know, there are miracles. 8 years later, my husband actually went, started going to fellowship meetings. I got an awful lot from these fellowship meetings. And then one day, definitely again, higher power, I was away somewhere and I was listening to a tape. That's the days of tapes. And on top of this tape was another tape, another voice talking about codependency. And I'd never heard it before. And I started thinking, this is amazing. This is me. This is totally me. Definitely higher power. I went home and I found a CODA meeting, but it was really not a very healthy one. And so I decided to go back to the old meetings I'd been going to. At least they were safe. But I bought all the literature I possibly could on CODA and tried to work it myself. But I now know you can't work it on yourself. And then life happened. Lots of things happened. My husband got prostate cancer, then he had heart trouble, my sister became ill with cancer, my mother became ill with cancer. My husband and my mother survived, but my mum didn't. And I nursed my mum at home. And that was definitely higher power. We laughed and we cried together. I really turned everything over to my higher power for guidance, because I didn't know what I was doing. And we had a wonderful time, really. And she had a really, really good passing. But just before she died, 2 days beforehand, she said to me, "Thank you, Jilly. Thank you for looking after me." And I said, "Oh, Mummy, you looked after me when I was little." And she said, "I can never forget it." She said, "No, Jilly, not the same. Not the same." And I suddenly realised, my goodness, I've been looking for her approval all these years and she sort of kept it back. And I felt sad for her because she'd had to do that. But I was so eternally grateful, and I do feel that's a gift from my higher power too. And then 12 years later, my husband passed away. He'd had a very tough time, oxygen and everything else. And again, my higher power gave me the strength, even when I was told it was palliative care. I didn't tell him because he didn't want to know. And just 3 weeks before he died, my best friend dropped dead. And that was another shock. And I happened to be in hospital at the time. I think it was all from the stress. I couldn't move. My back had gone and everything. And that, again, I think was my higher power taking me out of the situation. I came home. I went back to looking after my husband, and then when he passed, I'm really amazed at my sons, how they rallied round and been just absolutely amazing. But my journey with my higher power has been the most amazing, because when I went to CODA, I've been in CODA now 24 years, but seriously doing it probably for about the last 16 years and giving service. I decided to go down south. I didn't want to wait 20 years to learn about it. And so I went down south 3 days a week while my husband was still alive, after my mother had passed. And I learned lots of things about CODA and going to my local meetings and everything. But always this sense of my higher self and my higher power being there at the back of everything. And for me, apart from it being about this earth spinning on its axis, there's also those things of somebody likened it to, well, imagine you've got a bestest friend, a twin, and you could give, you know, you'd know what was exactly right for this twin. Why don't you give that to yourself? And these other things of life's issues, having a haversack on my back, and each time there was an issue or trauma, another brick in that haversack, and it feels heavy until it's just too heavy to carry. And imagining this higher power or my higher self alongside me, and I could give them a brick and then maybe another one and lighten the load in my haversack. I can always take them back anytime I want, but I could take it if I want. But just for today, I'll leave it with my higher power. And that's been really, really helpful for me. Just trying to where I am now. The other thing was also in CODA, when I first came to CODA, I'd already got the literature, but now there was more literature available. And things like the common threads of codependency, which told me about relapse and authenticity as well as about codependency. And peeling the onion, you know, about intimacy. And lots of the newcomers handbook. And one of the most important tools I've learned is writing. Writing down feelings from my head onto a piece of paper. And that's how I access my anger. And it was definitely my higher power showing me this. That my sadness was actually my anger that I'd swallowed and frozen. So that's been really important. And I've realised also that at my end of life, I know that it's my relationship with my higher power that's going to be the most important thing. Even whether my family are around or not, it will be me and my higher power. And I'm diabetic, start making a relationship with that higher power or higher self. Today, for me, my higher power is loving, gentle, kind, non-critical, non-judgmental, accepts me exactly the way I am today. And if I'm overwhelmed, scoops me up like a babe in arms in a lovely soft shawl. This is how I imagine it, and rocks me. And loves me unconditionally because my higher power knows everything about me. I don't have any guilt or shame. And somebody said to me about, you know, often said in CODA, prayer is talking to our higher power and meditation is listening to our higher power. And I also meet my higher power when I'm writing. And I have a God box. I sometimes, if I've got worries, I'll put them in there. And I'll use all the various tools. But it's learning to trust my higher power. And I always say that I do my 1, 2, and 3 every day. I admit I am powerless over others, that my life is unmanageable. I came to believe in a power greater than myself that can restore me to sanity. And I make a decision. Made a decision to turn my will and my life, and I'm so willful, my will and my life over to the care of God as I understand God. And that's the most important thing for me, really, I do believe, to learn to trust. And the other thing, of course, is my gut. I meet my, that's where I found in CODA, definitely. I've always had this feeling in my gut. And for years, I didn't listen to my gut feelings when it said, don't do it. And I didn't listen. Now, today, I listen to my gut, my solar plexus. If it says yes, I listen to it. If it says no, I also listen to it. So I think that's where I meet my higher power too. As far as literature is concerned, I think it's been had a major part in my life and my recovery. I mean, I love the workbook. I love the In This Moment meditation book. We did a whole weekend retreat on doing that and using the index from the back there. Just marvellous, marvellous recovery there. As I said before, the Codependence Anonymous book, where it says our spiritual dilemma, chapter 2, of course, the steps, the traditions, but, and I think I probably lived the traditions more than the steps in some ways. Of course, chapter 5 in the CODA Anonymous and book. There are also other things like, as I said, the newcomer handbook. Oh, and the Traditionally Speaking, that's a wonderful book. And at the back of it, it's also got an annual inventory, which is very helpful. And also at the back of the CODA workbook, we have the How to Set a Step meeting up. There's also the colouring book at the moment, which is about the steps, the traditions and the promises, which is really good. And we've at the moment got something that's coming out soon called Growing Up in CODA, which is a lot of inner child work. And we're hoping to do a story gatherer's book, similar to the books out at the back of the Codependence Anonymous book, but more modern. Hoping people will write in and send stories about different ethnicity, LGBTQ LGBTQ plus, and about the pandemic, maybe how people have survived through it using their CODA program. So I also love the boundaries leaflet and the communications and recovery leaflets. 10 pence or 10 cents of absolute treasure. There are lots of things that I have found so helpful in CODA. Probably too many to mention, really. But also there's the experiences with Prostalk, which is a marvellous little book for any meeting. It tells you how you can interpret one very strict way and one more relaxed way. Very helpful with groups and certainly in my own meeting. Very, very helpful. And also having group consciences. You know, again, that's my higher power being present and trusting my higher power. So my journey with higher power has been really vast. I've been rabbiting on for quite a long time now. And I really like to, before we go into sharing, I've got some questions. So if anybody would like to do some questions, first of all, on higher power first. And there are three questions. And one would be, have I a higher power? Or in my mind, and how does it feel? And the second one is, imagine a new ideal higher power for myself or for yourself. Who is loving, gentle, and kind? What other attributes might you wish for? Make a list. And the third one is, if you can now trust this new ideal higher power, that loves you unconditionally, how might you feel? And for the literature, there's three questions as well. The first one is, what piece of CODA conference endorsed literature has helped you in your CODA recovery? And the second one is, if you had an opportunity to write a piece of CODA literature, what would you like it to be about? And the third one is, write down 5 positive affirmations or attributes that you like about yourself. And also, write down 5 attributes that other people like about you. So I would say that the most important relationship in my life is definitely my relationship with my higher power. And as I said on my last breath on earth, it'll be me and my higher power. So I know I need to expand that relationship on a daily basis. And life can be really tough. And it hasn't been easy lately. I am so full of gratitude for CODA and my relationship with my higher power and the people in CODA. And also giving service. That's been the other turning point for me. Giving service in CODA has really, really helped my recovery. I didn't know that that's what I would feel, but I can highly suggest it to anybody. And also, if I can do this today, hopefully somebody's got something from this, because I've been really quite nervous. But I have to get my ego out of the way and just be who I am, and hopefully somebody will gather something from it. If I can do this, please, please offer service to do something too. So I'm open for questions if anybody has any questions. Thanks.
Thank you, Jillian, and your higher power. You blipped out just a little bit during the questions about higher power. Could you please read those again?
Certainly. Thank you. One, have I a higher power or a God? Have you a higher power or a God of your understanding today? How do you see it in your mind? and how does it feel? And the second one is, imagine a new ideal higher power for yourself who is loving, gentle and kind. What other attributes might you wish for? And make a list. And three, if you can now trust this new ideal higher power and it's there for you and loves you unconditionally, how might you feel? And did you get the questions for the literature?
Yes, I believe we did.
Thank you.
Thanks. So thanks again. And if anybody would like to share answers to those questions
or anything,
please raise your hand, and I will call on you. Daphne.
Hi, thank you, Jillian, Sarah, and everyone for your services. Sorry, I can't turn my camera on at the moment. I'm having a little issue. I wanted to answer the questions. I really enjoyed your talk. It was very like calming experience for me. So have I a higher power of God today? I do. How do I see it in my mind? How does it feel? I see my God as my friend. The one that provides me with peace, always present, always there. I also see my higher power as the one who tells me, who has the truth. How do I imagine my new ideal, or what are the attributes? Loving, kind, patience, always present, like my best friend. Has the capital T truth about who I really am. I've been learning to realize like all the negative self-talk that I've had are lies, and God wouldn't tell me those things and God wouldn't want me to believe those things about myself. There's a kind of like a, I guess it's like an authoritative prayer that my friend taught me, that anytime I feel or I think I'm thinking about those lies about myself, that I'm not as good as someone else. I'll say something like, God didn't bring me on this planet to have me think about myself that way. And I try my best to cancel those thoughts and not associate with them anymore, because God doesn't want me to associate myself with comparison or not feeling good enough. If I can trust my higher power, okay, so I think if I can trust that my higher power is loving and is there for me, I feel like I would have more like a calm authority about myself. I think I would believe, I would accept, what am I saying? I would be more firm. I would be more bold, and I would be more alert to the negative self-talk and not allow those things to seep into my mind even a little bit, because they can be really subtle and they can, go down a spiral. So I think if I trust in my higher power, I would be more, stand more firm in who I truly am. So, that's my share. Thanks for letting me share my answers. I pass.
Thank you. Just for those of you who signed on as Sarah Jess, we had a glitch. And so please feel free to rename yourself. Otherwise, I'll call on myself numerous times. So I'm sorry about that. Would anybody else like to share? Raise your hand. You may put questions in chat to the host or co-hosts. Emily? Hi.
Hello, my name is Emily.
Hi.
This is my first conference, and thank you, Jillian, for your sharing your story. Yeah, I'm just like, I'm feeling so much gratitude right now. And also so much, I'm sorry, I have my kids in the background. I have a television show. I feel like I have so much, road to walk. Like, I'm new to CODA about three, I don't remember if I said this, I'm kind of nervous, about 3 months in. And I have a question actually for Jillian. So I grew up in a family where Catholic family, and so I was exposed to church and religion. But I also felt a connection with nature and like a spiritual, something spiritual, but I'm having a hard time, or I'm just, maybe not a hard time, but I'm just beginning to explore that, expand on that relationship or on that power and how it can help me. I guess I felt that I've just really been on my own and, just, surviving on my own self-will, and it hasn't worked for me very well. And, I'm in a moment in my life of lots of transition. I'm embarking on a journey of being a single mom, and, have a lot of fear around what that means for my kids. And, so I guess my question is, do you have any specific advice on how to expand a little bit more? I mean, I know you, the exercise, the questions that you gave, I wasn't able to do much because I was getting my kids settled, but, like imagining, the questions that you proposed are a way of expanding on that, but also in terms of letting go of that, wanting to control everything and thinking just the fear of letting things be. Because I feel like if I don't try to control things, that it's going to be bad. But it's this logical thing. I know that I can't. I really know I can't control, but it's just that. Yeah. So I don't know anything specifically, I guess, about handing over that control. So that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your question. I mean, welcome to CODA. Well, for me personally, I think it's been a journey, and this is the thing. When I first came to CODA, I wanted to know it all. I wanted to have it right now. I'd lived for so many years without it. I needed it now. And it, you know, this awful saying, which is trust the process, is the truth, really. It is, first of all, learning to trust myself. That's been the biggest journey for me, is learning to trust myself. And that is with my higher power, my higher self. This inner voice that's going on, and as you'll see in chapter 5 of the Codependence Anonymous book, where it talks about reparenting ourselves, it is a process of looking at myself as a young child, because I was told, I had a friend who was a therapist, and she used to say about inner child, and I said, I was never a child, I don't understand what you're talking about. I had to go to London to a visiting person from America who's now passed on, unfortunately. I went 2 years on the run doing his workshops for 2 weekends, learning about inner child stuff because I couldn't get it. And it was learning to trust that voice inside, that voice that had always been there. But because everybody else's voice was on top of it all, I disregarded it. And it was having to listen to that inner voice and learning to reparent myself, an ideal parent for myself. And I once did an exercise of, well, we did it together. What would you want in a higher power? And what would you want in an inner parent or a parent within your ideal parent that you could give to yourself? And what would you want in a sponsor? And actually, they were all the same things. So it's quite telling. For me, it's about trust. And I have to, first of all, say to myself, step one, admitted we were powerless over others and that our lives have become unmanageable, because I always missed out the word admitted. And I realized I didn't want the word surrender. It was never in my vocabulary. and came to believe in a power greater than ourself, yourself that can restore you to sanity or ourselves. And I realized now I couldn't really have done my program in CODA without me beginning to understand something bigger than myself, that's more powerful than me. And for me, it was always this thing that's the universe or whatever else it is, how the earth is spinning on its axis and there's some power that is greater than me. And that's how I imagined it. When I first came to program, to this other program 34 years ago, I was sat in this other program and they didn't have their own literature and they used the AA big book. And in it, it said, we have Gnostics. And it was about, you know, people who couldn't believe in a higher power and all this. And it really helped me, actually, because my religious thing, because I was Jewish, I wasn't over religious, but I was always spiritual about things. I was interested in everybody's religion. I thought it was wonderful. But it didn't give me what I needed, which was trust inside, because people around me weren't trustworthy, really. And it's only thanks to being in CODA I can trust that inner knowingness in my gut. Trusting your gut, I would say, Diana. Trusting your gut. It would be what I would say. And give it time. Be kind and loving to yourself. And I'll leave it.
Thank you so much.
Before we go on with Diana, Jillian, we've had people sign in later, so yeah. Could you please read the questions again?
Yes, certainly.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Have I a higher power or a God of my understanding? That's number one. And how do I, I'll read it again. One, have you a higher power or a God of your understanding today? How do you see it in your mind and how does it feel? That's the first question. The second question is, imagine a new ideal higher power for yourself who is loving, gentle and kind. What other attributes might you wish for? Make a list. And the third question is, if you can now trust this new ideal higher power and it's there for you and loves you unconditionally, how might you feel if you had this in your life? Okay.
Thank you. Diana, please share.
Thank you for letting me share. All the questions are very difficult for me because I've always been religious. I always believed that there was a God, but I looked for God in other people. And in my faith, the faith that I grew up with, which is Catholic, I've been affected very badly because of the pedophile priests. I worked in the rectory, I knew a lot of them. I heard a lot of what was happening. And it affected my faith in God. So what I'm having a problem with, a higher power, is that I know that there is a God. I know there's a higher power. And I've seen him in my life. I mean, my father tried to molest me. When I was in puberty and I clung to the curtains and a cross appeared in the sky through the screen. And I said, God is watching us. And he stopped. But as my life has progressed and I've tried to go after my faith or faith in God, it's been so difficult. I never realized it was this difficult. I didn't even realize till I found out I am a codependent 100% plus if there's anything happen you could do for that. So to imagine a new idea, I don't even know how to do it.
one who's loving and kind, who I always imagined to be, and then I'm destroyed in my faith. Can I trust a new higher power who loves me? I thought he did. So he's bringing me through CODA. I believe he's brought me to CODA at 63 years old. And I thank him for at least that, because I'm getting to see I'm not alone. I'm not alone in the world. There's people like me all over the world. I'm trying to figure it out by reading all the books and, I don't know how to do anything because I've only been here for a month, but I'm trying because I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I thank God for Zoom meeting. So I'm still saying thank him. And I thank you for this opportunity to have this Zoom meeting, today about this topic. And, Jillian, it was very nice to hear your story. And thank you for letting me speak. I pass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I just say, easy does it, and one day at a time. And the one wonderful slogan that's not in any of the books that I've seen of late, but hopefully will be one day, is COPE, cope, cut out pleasing everyone. And that really started to help me address my feelings. And it's not a rush, it's not a race. That's the other thing. And I came to CODA feeling absolutely wretched. I felt I didn't like myself, I wasn't happy in my own skin. I can say thanks to CODA, and it has taken some years, I now feel happy in my own skin today, and I'm good enough. David. Hi, David.
Hi, Julian. Turn my camera on. It's not very bright in here. Sorry. Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom, experience, strength, and hope to us today. I tried to write down your questions. I haven't quite got them all. Do I have a higher power? Yes, I do. My problem. I'm codependent. So my problem, amongst other things, is my higher power may always be talking to me. I'm just not always listening. And learning to listen better to my higher power and that wisdom is something I learn in this program day by day. And do I have an image? What's else? How do I see this in my mind? My codependence is like me in a little boat, just tempest tossed on the sea, and CODA is like a telescope through which I get glimpses of my higher power, which, like the stars, help me navigate my way home to the best me I can be one day at a time. And the thing that helps me a lot, everything in CODA helps me a great deal. The thing that helps me a lot every day is reminding myself to be grateful and to say the eighth promise. That's what helps me get through the day. The serenity prayer, the eighth promise, and gratitude. Thank you so much for your share today, for speaking. We'll see you. Bye.
Thank you, David.
Thank you. We have some more time. Would anybody else like to answer some questions? We have, is it Karen?
Hello. Hi. Yeah, my name is Karin. I'm a grateful member of another group, of an Al-Anon family groups. And this is my first time in a CODA meeting. And so I'm very glad you make such a big one. I started to read the CODA literature, and I'm in 6 years in Al-Anon. My wife is now 2 years sober in AA. And I went through my step work several times. I do a lot of service in Austria, Europe. And now it's the first time that, my life is back from the daily craziness of active alcoholism. And I noticed that I'm falling into habits. And I think the CODA program might be more, because making another person my higher power is, something I experience in the moment. And I have a higher power. I found it through really bad times. I needed the bad times to find my higher power. I'm practicing a daily spiritual praxis. I made my peace. I even made my amends with my parents. Yeah, I'm looking out for having good examples of good relationships. And it's not very easy to find. And yeah, so thanks for letting me listen in, and thanks for being here. I'm really having very open eyes, ears, and I hope an open heart to get, be allowed to learn from you. Thanks a lot for letting me share.
Thank you. Justin, you're up.
Hi, Justin.
Hello. Why is my camera not on? Can you guys see me?
Oh, yeah. You see it's on.
Yes. There we go. Oh, there we go. There we go. I turned it off and on. This is an amazing meeting so far. I've been into a lot of CODA meetings, but so far this is amazing. And it's really cool to see so many international members in CODA. I mean, I attend US-based meetings, and it's hard. You don't really think about how codependency is, you know, all over the world, exists everywhere. Just like alcoholism. So thanks for your share, Jillian. The question was about higher power. Like, what would your, I think it was, do you have a higher power? And I wrote some notes about that. Sorry, I'm like cooking a pancake. There we go. I just flipped it. Okay. So I've been struggling with the concept of a higher power. That's what I'm currently struggling with. I mean, when I first joined, I've been in CODA since October of last year. And as soon as I saw the higher power verbiage, I knew that that was going to be a challenge. So when I was 19, I took a world religion class in college, and that, and I looked into multiple religions, and then I just came to the conclusion that, well, how can they be all right? Therefore, I'm not going to follow any of them, because not one can be true. And that was probably the greatest mistake of my life so far. I'm 38 years old. What that did is I immediately became a hedonist. It was all about pleasure. I mean, literally the day after I became an agnostic atheist, started as an atheist and then kind of evolved to agnosticism. Like, the day after I made that change, I started partying, drinking and partying, and I lost. And at least for me, without a higher power, I have no moral sort of compass and no direction. If you look at my life, others looking at it from the outside, I've done well. I'm okay. I haven't screwed up, but that's not what it feels like in for me inside. And since my life was all about pleasure, that the pursuit of pleasure means pain avoidance. And one will experience minimal personal growth if you're always trying to avoid pain. So I didn't grow emotionally up until, I would say, CODA, until last year. It's been a big change since then. Lots of changes. But just to hurry it up here, I'm focused on higher power. And to do that, I need to give up control of my life. And I am slowly giving up control and sort of submitting. One example is recently I have made the decision, you know, the CODA literature talks about avoiding, you know, sex without love, sex without love. I've made the decision of no more casual sex. And I'm only going to have sex with someone that I feel a connection and love towards. And that's giving up control. I have no idea what's going to happen from that. Maybe I won't have sex for years. Who knows? But giving up control, that's the consequence of that. That's all I have. I'm sure I'm taking up more than 5 minutes or so. Thanks for listening and thanks for this meeting. Thanks for the service.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it. Thank you. Can I just say, by the way, that the questions for the higher power are actually, I've put them in the chat. So you can see those, and I'm also trying to put in the ones for the literature as well. But these on the higher power, those three questions are in there in the chat if anybody's interested. Thank you. So who's it now?
If Terry, you want to do a real quick share, and then we're going to close up this meeting and get ready for the next session.
Yeah, we've just got Terry and Lucy. Yeah, okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Hi, everybody. My name is Terry. I am codependent. Thank you very much for being of service, Jillian. Much appreciated. So I'll just focus really quickly on, do I have a higher power? I do. I've noticed that, at least for me as a codependent, over the years in the program, I've been very, very grateful that it's changed, which is fantastic. So for me, my higher power doesn't change, but my perception of what a higher power is changes, right? So I need one that doesn't change because I need something I can count on, right? So it's changed to now my higher power is this amazing force. It's not a discrete entity per se. It is the present moment. So for me, my higher power is the present moment. It's the now. And how I connect with my higher power is by slowing down and pausing. So I pause because I get, I get an external or internal stimulus to respond to the world in a particular way. And then I pause. And that's where I connect with my higher power. And then I hopefully can respond to the world, people, places, and things which I cannot control. So I cannot control people, places, things, events, and outcomes. And so I can respond in a way that is hopefully beneficial, loving, and kind to other beings on the planet. I don't know if I do that, but that's my goal. And so, like, that's my higher power. And, gosh, I'm so happy to be here. Yay. Thank you, everybody, and I will pass.
Thank you very much. And very quickly, Lucy.
Lucy, you're muted.
I'm Lucy Codependent. I was told there is no God from childhood. And if I ever said anything about God, I was told there is no God. But I remembered there was a God because I looked up once and the sky was very, very blue. And I felt like, oh, there is a God. And I started a Hashem to the name, to the word. And I came to understand that I don't control my life and I don't control anything that happens in my life. And if I lean back into the trust and I can give my will over to God, things work out fine. Or they don't work out fine. I don't really understand the way they work out. They just evolve. So my latest, if I were to create a higher power, I don't know what I would create or even name. It's an amorphous concept, an amorphous feeling of being one with that higher power, or not being one, but I don't have any qualities I would ask for other than understanding, I guess, because I'm short on that.
Thank you.
This is wonderful to be able to talk with all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. And thank you to everybody who's asked questions.
Thank you. And thanks again, Jillian. Thanks for everybody who did service here.
Can I just say all the questions are there for both the literature and the higher power if you want to download them anyway. They're in the chat, all the questions.
Yes, thanks for doing that. Okay, will someone please raise their virtual hand to read the promises?